Well, we appreciate Brother Billy's presentation. It was very well reasoned, well studied, and a thoughtful presentation of his conviction on this matter. I'm glad he gave it. I think it's a very important discussion to have. And there's probably a lot of questions and discussion. I hope there will be. I do want to encourage us, though, to keep our discussion on topic. There are a lot of very good and important questions about marriage and divorce and remarriage, but the subject of whether the guilty party may remarry is itself a subject that merits serious consideration. And so if you have questions about other passages of Scripture unrelated to this topic, you can present them to us, and maybe we can address them on Friday, or maybe we can address them in a future study. But I hope that the discussion will focus itself on this particular issue, because this is an important issue for us to understand. And Brother Billy has studied it very well. All right, so anyone who has a question, Brother has a question, we'll start with Matthew Schaefer.
Now, considering Matthew 19 and 9, it seems that the case assumed has the innocent party issuing or filing for divorce, using modern terminology. Do you see any difference whether the guilty party is the one who files for divorce?
Well, the innocent party is the one who needs to divorce the one who has committed this immorality. They're the one that should divorce them, you know. And if they put them away. Now, you know, you could have a case where maybe the guilty party is going to try to divorce the innocent one, but they don't have the right to do that. Let me put it like this. This is what has to end the marriage. What has to end the marriage is the fact that someone has committed adultery and the innocent party is putting them away for that, you know.
All right, we'll go to Matt.
Thank you, brother. I thought that was very good. My question would be, in Romans 7, we have that death ends a marriage. It ends that law of the husband or pertaining to the husband. Now, if someone has been put away for adultery and they have not remarried, but their spouse or their former spouse then dies, are they then free?
I can't say they are. That's not what Jesus said. I don't think so. Here's the problem. And here's what I've been saying. You know, a lot of times the way that we look at it is, we say, all right, there's an unscriptural divorce that takes place. I keep using Judy and I, and our marriage is fine. You know, okay, I'll make that plain just like Alan did of his. But let's say that we just decide we don't love each other anymore, and we divorce. Now, a lot of times what we say is, well, you know, in the sight of God, we're still married. I don't believe that's true. That's really what I'm saying. I don't believe that's speaking as the Bible speaks. Paul said, we're in an unmarried state. But you see, we're still bound to the law of the husband. That's the point. We're still bound to that. And of course, if that happens, if Jude and I were to divorce, and sexual immorality is not involved, we've got one of two choices. We either remain unmarried or we be reconciled to each other. That means we go back in harmony, and obviously that means we get remarried, which we could do and probably should do. If we decide we just can't live together, well, Paul said the only other choice we've got is we've got to remain unmarried. But when a person is divorced, they're in an unmarried state. Now, that's what Paul said. And I think that's speaking as the Bible speaks.
All right, we'll go to Austin.
Appreciated it very much. Very difficult topic. Appreciated your presentation on that. Going to play a little devil's advocate, if you will. You know, to get to this state of may the guilty party remarry, the guilty party has been doing things prior to that state in order to find someone to remarry, I would think. My question is, can the guilty party date, or should the guilty party date? Because it seems to me like there's a lot of happenings going on before we get to this state, and then once we get to this state, then
Can she be outdating men and not marry him? And no, she has no right to be outdating. Does Judy have a right to be outdating somebody right now, or me outdating? Now, I said that we're in an unmarried state, but we're still bound to that law, see. Mm. No, all you're doing is playing with fire. You're playing with temptation.
I agree.
And you know what's going to happen. Yeah. Sooner or later, they're going to end up marrying. Mm-hmm. Or just living together, you know.
All right, we'll go to Richard Vedder and then Alan Monday.
I'm right here. I enjoyed it very much, Billy. Let me ask you, if you and Judy, since we're using you, if two people are divorced for, you know, incompatibility, can they play the waiting game and then one of them? So if you're divorced because that, you know, you're just not getting along, if one goes out and gets married, the other one still does not have the right to remarry.
I don't think it doesn't match what Jesus said.
Right.
You know, no. I could say I'll divorce Judy. And sooner or later, I'll just wait her out, and she'll probably get married again. In fact, maybe this is a good place to emphasize what Jesus said in Matthew 5. I thought I had that down right here in my notes, but anyway, I'll turn over there. You know, there is a subtle distinction between Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:9. Because listen to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery." If I divorce Judy for whatever, there's a sense in which I cause her to commit adultery. I believe what he's saying is, in other words, I put her in this position to where perhaps she's going to be tempted to either live, you know, an immoral life or go out here and remarry. Now listen to me. I believe based on what Jesus said, it is a sin. It is a sin to divorce your husband or your wife for an unscriptural cause. You have no right to do that. But it does happen. Paul recognized it happens. And what did he say? If it happens, you've got one of two choices. You either remain unmarried or you be reconciled to each other. So this waiting game, that just simply doesn't fit.
Right. And that's a serious problem that has existed within our brotherhood. Yes. And people need to recognize that's not God's law.
And you know, getting back to fairness, sometimes people are mistreated. I know of cases where maybe the wife told the husband, "I just don't love you anymore. I don't want to live with you anymore." And maybe he begs her, "Honey, we're married. We can work this out. I love you. Let's work it out." And she just decides, nope. And she divorces him. And then maybe she waits him out, you know. And finally he falls into temptation and he gets married again. That doesn't free her. And even if she goes and remarries again, I don't believe that frees him, because they don't meet this exception. But the point is, I don't think Jesus is as much concerned about fairness as he is, he wants to keep the sanctity of the marriage intact. And that's what's important.
I'll be quick. Spot on, Billy. Great job. In reference to what Matt asked a minute ago, I do think that there are two parts to this issue of getting a divorce. It's not just a matter of who can beat the fastest trail to the judge. The point is, if your partner has been unfaithful to you and they divorce you before you can get there, the church still has a say in this. And the leaders of the church need to see what caused this divorce. And if the church rules that this is a divorce for sexual immorality, it doesn't matter who got there first. It's a Matthew 19:9. That's right. Legally, it might matter, but not for the church.
Well, I'm not a lawyer. I mean, is it possible that a woman or the man could say, I'm going to divorce you for whatever, and there's no way that the other party could counter divorce? I don't know. In other words, if Judy had committed sexual immorality, let's say I did. I committed sexual immorality. All right. And Judy charges, she files for divorce. Or I file for divorce before she does. She couldn't go to the court and say, well, he committed adultery and I'm filing for divorce as well. I don't know. I don't know if that's
You can counter sue for divorce, but I do think it matters most what the church says.
It'd be best if you did.
But I do want to say one thing on the record. You're the one talking about Judy, not me. relative to Matt Kuderna's question, in Romans 7, you have to be married to that person when they die for you to have the freedom to marry after their death. If there's a divorce, you're not married to that person. Now, you may or may not be authorized to remarry, but you're not married to that person anymore. And you're
And I've said this myself, well, we're still married in the sight of God. And so, we can go ahead and divorce them. How are you going to divorce someone that you're not married to?
That's my next point. We got to get rid of this statement in the eyes of God. God knows whether people are divorced or not. The question is, do they have an authorization to remarry?
Yeah.
And that has to be in the scriptures.
Yeah.
And I want to point out one other thing. You didn't address this, but it's a corollary to what you addressed. If someone is teaching publicly or going around privately teaching that the guilty party may remarry, that's false doctrine, is that right? And it causes division, and that person should be withdrawn from, or they should stop that.
I think so. If somebody held that view and it's just a private opinion and they keep it to themselves, that's one thing. But if someone is out preaching it, maybe even practicing it or justifying those and causing trouble in the kingdom, then they're a false teacher. It may not be.
Okay, Roger Ben.
Well, thank you very much, Billy. I did have a question and need some more explanation on the Romans 7 passage.
Romans 7?
Romans 7.
All right.
If it looks to me like verses 1 through 6 or the paragraph there, and at least that's what it is in my Bible. And we're talking about a law of the husband, the law of Christ, then verse 4, how do we become dead to that law through the body of Christ? What does that mean? And in verse 6, how are we delivered from the law?
That's the law of Moses. What Paul is doing is he says, you understand the principle of law. You understand how law works. Well, the subject under consideration is not divorce and remarriage. The subject is you're not under the law of Moses anymore. And he illustrates it with marriage. You understand that if your husband's dead, then you're free to marry. Well, we're dead to the law by the body of Christ. Because Jesus died and nailed the old law to the cross. Well, we're free from that law. That's really the point, I think, that he's making.
Having recently studied Romans 7, I agree with that. I believe that's right. He's using the marriage principle to illustrate how they were set free from the law of Moses, and they had to be, because if they were under the law of Moses and the law of Christ at the same time, they would have to be unfaithful to one or the other. They couldn't be a woman can't be a faithful wife to two husbands at the same time. And a man can't be faithful to the law of Moses, the law of Christ at the same time. That's the illustration.
Those who take the no exception view, what they do is they'll go to, like Romans 7 there, and they'll say, well, he didn't give an exception. Well, the reason is he's not writing a treatise on the whole deal of divorce and remarriage, but he's applying the general principle to show how it is that we're not under the law of Moses today. And just because in one passage the exception is not mentioned, that doesn't mean that, you know, it's not applied elsewhere and it's not contradictory to each other. You know. Dr.
Smith? I feel like you sort of addressed it, Billy, but just for clarification, how would you approach this subject if both parties are guilty, if both have been unfaithful? If both of the parties have been unfaithful, how would you go about addressing this situation?
I don't think they have a right. If both parties have been are guilty, I mean, me and Judy both have committed. How in the world am I going to divorce her for adultery? I mean, really. Because, you know, you talk about the height of hypocrisy. What we both need to do is we better repent and ask each other, you know, and straighten it out. No. So that's what we mean by the innocent party, you know. It doesn't, you know, when we talk about the innocent party, we don't necessarily mean that this husband or this wife is the perfect husband. Nobody's the perfect husband or the perfect wife. Ask Judy, she'll tell you that, and she's right. But that doesn't mean that we have brought immorality into a relationship. That's what we mean by the guilty party, you know. And Jesus gives that exception.
Wes, did you raise your hand? Okay, Brother Fred.
Anybody else raise your hand? You probably want to take a pen and write this down. All right. This is just for general, for my purposes, because, okay, you know, the Bible talks about it. You got to have an understanding of all of these things that we're talking about.
Okay.
So I would like for you, first of all, I'd like to, if you have any, if you want to call me, the Unity Church of Christ in Unity, Illinois, the phone number is in the book.
Okay.
And you know, just call me and we can talk about it, any of the brothers. In Malachi chapter 2, where God talked about the hating of the putting away.
Right.
And then in Jeremiah chapter 3, God talked about putting them away, but yet he says, but yet y'all keep returning unto me. And the aspect of putting away. Now this is the emphasis on those scriptures. So then when you look at what God did to Hoshea concerning that same principle, because God made him go marry a harlot, and we know what the concept of that is. It's sort of like what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. And the reason I'm saying this, that I know we don't have time to go through all of this. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, because he says, he that is married to a harlot, they're still one. So we know, again, we know what harlotry is.
Yeah.
Somebody is not faithful in the relationship.
Yeah.
So then the other one is John 10 and 30, where Christ and the Father is one. So then we have to make the connection of the agreement between them concerning all these issues that we're talking about. So this is for me to understand how all of this is going to work. And I like John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, because this woman was taken in the very act, not of fornication, but of adultery. And then all those accusers, as you so gracefully said, about what she should have been done. She should have been stoned, and that would release the man that she was married to go and be with somebody else, if that would be the case.
Yeah.
But Jesus says, I say unto you, go and sin no more. So we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about repentance. All of those things in that same character of the state. So I just give you my number so you can call and we can have a conversation. Sure. I mean, any other brother. Yeah. It's not just limited to just one. So that we can discuss and then we don't take up all the time.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Let me just respond by saying this. Jesus gave an exception, which means if my spouse commits immorality, I have the right to put her away for that purpose. And if I do, I can remarry without committing adultery. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's what I should do. See? Now, you know, if she is truly repentant, that would, you know, and ask me to forgive her, then I might decide, you know, for the sake of ourselves and our children, and maybe this is not really characteristic of what she has done, that I would forgive her, and that's fine. But, and you know, that's good to say, but what if you have a situation where she is unrepentant? She's not going to repent. She's going to live with that man. I have to just put up with that? I don't think so. Because I have what Jesus said. Now, God hates divorce. That's true. But God, you know, under the same figure, he did divorce Israel. Of course, he took her back, you know. And all that, of course, is kind of in a figurative, is in a figurative sense. But the Lord did give an exception. And it does mean something, you know.
All right, let's see. That's it. That's great. Q&A, Billy, do you have any closing announcement? Or
I'm just glad to be here and thank the church again for everything that you do.